WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. And one more day, as you heard mentioned there, one more day of heat and humidity. And then tomorrow should be a little better in terms of the comfortableness of the air. And then we're going to have a couple of days where you'll have some decent weather. But it's already 70 degrees. Feels a little warmer out there. And we're going to flirt with 90 today. And certainly feels like temperatures in the mid-90s. So I feel like we've been living, you know, for a couple of days a week this summer, that meme that says, you know, I was told to dress for the 90s today. And then they're just wearing like JNCO jeans and things like that. But anyway, we'll talk more about the 90s and the 80s as well coming up in the Gen X Files in the next hour. We're also going to be talking with folks from Gnome Surf later on in the 8 o'clock hour. But we've got a number of things to talk about this morning. We have an update from the New Bedford Police Department that Barry received last night and sent over to me. So we'll discuss that. And I'm sure he'll get even more in-depth with it on his program later on today. We have the New Bedford Light story with all the information about the longevity pay, at least as far back as the records could go. I know Chris said yesterday that the city was on the verge of providing this information. Well, the Light had put in a request for it, and they have an article up that you can read. Very interesting article. Not exactly an accurate representation of all the information. And that's not an indictment on the reporting, but I don't think that the reporters realized where some of this information was coming from. So, for example, you know, they talked about how this had been rumored as having gone on for 100 years, this longevity pay for elected officials. And they basically tried to suggest that it was something that was started on the radio as a rumor. And that actually came from Councillor Morad's own words, as Chris McCarthy has played numerous times. And whether or not that was an exaggeration or her actual belief, I think it was probably more of an exaggeration. So I think to try to write it as if, you know, the radio hosts and callers were trying to suggest that it had gone on for 100 years, it's not exactly accurate of how it was presented, but like they might not have heard everything. Although the podcasts are available, you spent weeks working on the story. And then also, they kind of portrayed it as the radio station was making a big deal out of this. Like as if, you know, we somehow decided, it's summertime. We need something to talk about. Let's go back to longevity pay. Let's bring this up. No, this came about because the counselors themselves, two of the counselors, tried to get this put back on the books. They tried to file a motion. They were going to file a motion earlier this year to get this longevity pay reinstated. So this wasn't the radio station just fabricating. This wasn't Chris McCarthy just, you know, deciding to cause a controversy. This is something that the counselors themselves pushed for. And then Leo Chiquette was the whistleblower on it. So there's been a tendency in some New Bedford Light articles lately to try to portray this station as muckrakers And I don't, it's not entirely accurate. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you can fan the flames, whether intentionally or unintentionally, of something that might not seem like a big deal to a lot of people, but because it matters to those people that call in and they want to sound off on it, it makes it feel like it's a bigger deal. But this is something that I think a lot of people were ticked off about. And it was an ongoing thing since, I think it was what, like March? Sometime in the spring that this was first brought to our attention. And then it came up again because of something that the mayor said in one of his weekly appearances. So I don't get it. I don't get why New Bedford Light wants to try to act like we're, you know, intentionally causing controversy. We've given them a platform here. I'll say this. I think they all do a great job over there, but New Bedford Light wouldn't get the response and the reach that it does if it wasn't for WBSM talking about their stories. Not enough people that live in New Bedford care about the kind of articles that New Bedford Light writes. But when we bring it into the conversation here and give them the chance to have their say on it, that expands the audience. So, you know, I used to think it was funny that in the early 2000s, you would read these articles in the Standard Times that would be attacking the radio station. Now, I didn't really listen to the radio station then because I was working a day job. And at my day job, we listened to music or, depending on, you know, who I was working with, sports talk radio. So I didn't know everything that was being said on WBSM. But even just looking at some of the articles, I would say, you guys write a lot of stuff about this as if the station is a negative, but yet you have writers that are on every day. Like, there used to be standing segments with everybody. Like, I think it was Monday was sports with Buddy Thomas, and Tuesday was this, and when I know Sue Seaman came on one day. Like, doesn't seem to make sense. And again, I'm not saying you got to give us a pass on things, but at least just, you know, portray the story accurately. But again, the article is good. All the reporters over there are fantastic. It's just, I think they get a little bit of misinformation in this one. I wouldn't even say misinformation, just a mischaracterization of where it came from. But that can happen sometimes when you're late to the story. 508-996-0500. So I'll give you the details of that. Because here I am, you know, kind of dumping on them a little bit when they're the ones that got all this information. So, again, read the article. Absolutely read the article at newbedfordlight.org. But according to this, they got the information about how much money has been paid out as far back as the records go. And the records go as far back as 2025. That is the how far back the digital records go. Because as you know, the city was talking, and the mayor talked about this with Chris, any paper records that they kept on file, there was a flood. So those paper records are not accessible. And honestly, when you ask somebody a question like, I'm looking for, in the case of, you know, Brian Gomes's motion, 50 years worth of records. Well, maybe it's different when a counselor at large asks for it. But when, you know, when a reporter asks for 50 years or 100 years of records, it's a lot easier to just search the database online and say, we're going to give you the records that go as far back as our database goes. When you look and you see it's been 20 years, you say, yeah, that's fine. And then you'd have to push back more through the public records request and probably eventually the Secretary of State's office to be able to get anything further than that. But 20 years kind of paints the picture. Plus, I think a lot of people can go back and think to themselves, well, how many other counselors were on the council for more than 10 years? How many other mayors were in office more than 10 years? How many other assessors were in office more than 10 years? And then, you know, you can kind of reverse engineer it from there. But according to this report, over the last 20 years, $63,500 has been paid out in these longevity payments to elected officials. $63,500. That's the total amount, not per counselor. The counselor who was paid the most over that time, and no surprise, he's been the longest serving public official, is Brian Gomes at $12,350. Assessor Marty Tredup, $11,550. Counselor David Alves, $7,450. Counselor John Saunders, $6,350. Counselor Jane Gonsalves, $4,550. Assessor Peter Bertume, $4,450. Counselor David Garatowski, $3,900. Counselor Linda Morad, $3,900. Counselor Dennis Lawrence, $2,250. And Assessor Kimberly Saunders, $1,800. Everybody else has made less than $1,000 in longevity payments. And out of that, the only current elected officials would be Naomi Carney, $900. Joe Lopes, $900, but that was for his previous time as the Ward 6 counselor. And Mayor Mitchell, who received $900 and gave it back. So according to this article, the city will not be seeking reimbursement of those funds. That if counselors want to give it back, the city will take it, but they're not going to be seeking reimbursement of that funds. I thought I heard Chris say yesterday that he had heard that they will be seeking reimbursement of those funds, but I'm not exactly certain I heard that correctly. I was kind of in and out of things yesterday, had a doctor's appointment in Fall River and a meeting, and so I was, kind of in and out of the conversation yesterday. And then the New Bedford Light went so far as to break down out of that $63,000 how much it costs the average taxpayer. And they looked at, in the most recent budget that paid that out, which would have been 2023, it was 3.6 cents that each taxpayer paid. So I don't know if you want your 3.6 cents back, but that's the way that the New Bedford Light kind of broke it all down. So yeah, that number doesn't sound like much, but $63,500 certainly does. So we can certainly take more calls on that. I also said, Barry got a response back from the city and from the police department. And I'll give you those coming up, because I don't want to shortchange the responses that he received. But I will say that there is another legal permanent resident serving as a police officer in New Bedford besides Officer Taj. This officer is Cape Verdean. And according to New Bedford police spokesperson Holly Huntoon, both Officer Taj and the Cape Verdean police officer will be pursuing U.S. citizenship. But again, we can get more into that. Right now, though, I've got to take my first break of the morning. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. I still can't turn away. Cause all the dreams you never thought you'd lose, tossed along the way. All right, welcome back. And we're going to be going into the newsroom. When we come back on the other side, we can talk with you. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails, both available on the WBSM app as well. That is brought to you, of course, by South Coast Towing. Right now, let's go into the newsroom with Mike Roberts.
the latest on the New York City shooter. President Trump threatening legal action against the Harris campaign, and a new trend when it comes to tying the knot.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Authorities are working to determine whether the shooter in Monday's Manhattan attack that left five people dead, including the gunman, received help. Mayor Eric Adams says pieces of the semi-automatic rifle used in the killings were bought by an associate of suspect Shane Tamura, and detectives are working to ID that person. Reports say Tamura appeared to be targeting the NFL headquarters and had a note claiming he suffered from CTE, a brain disease linked to playing football. While investigators were searching Tamura's Las Vegas home, they found a second note similar in tone to the one discovered in New York. The jury is deliberating the fate of a Colorado dentist accused of slowly poisoning his wife to death. James Craig was arrested in 2023 after his wife, Angela, became ill and died. Investigators say Craig killed his wife by poisoning her protein shakes with a deadly mixture of cyanide and tetrahydrozoline. But Craig's defense says the prosecution never actually located the drugs.
When you look at this evidence, that you take those blinders off, that you look at the evidence that they have provided you, and you look at the evidence that they have not provided, and we ask that you find him not guilty.
President Trump seeking legal action against former Vice President Kamala Harris and celebrities who endorsed her presidential campaign. Trump claims Harris paid Beyonce $11 million, Oprah $3 million, and Al Sharpton $600,000. Trump says that violates campaign finance laws. On Truth Social, he wrote, quote, "You are not allowed to pay for an endorsement." However, federal filings reveal only standard reimbursements for event costs, not endorsements. Harris's campaign denies any wrongdoing. Critics suggest Trump is using the claims to distract from his own issues regarding the Jeffrey Epstein case. Attorneys for Sean Diddy Combs are asking a federal judge to release him from jail as he awaits his October sentencing.
In a 12-page letter to the judge, Diddy's lawyers claim the rap music mogul should not remain incarcerated for the transportation to engage in prostitution counts he was convicted of earlier this month, noting there are exceptional reasons that justify his release. They're requesting he be let out on $50 million bail and be allowed to reside in his Miami home ahead of his October 3rd sentencing. Combs was acquitted of the more serious sex trafficking and racketeering conspiracy charges, but was denied to be released on bail before his sentencing. I'm Jennifer Polsoni.
The Trump administration going after a substance readily available at convenience stores and vape shops across some U.S. states. FDA officials say they are beginning the process to classify 7-O as an illicit drug. 7-O is a byproduct of kratom, often referred to as gas station heroin. Officials warn it's being marketed to children and could lead to a dependence or addiction. During that announcement, HHS Secretary RFK Jr. spoke about his own addiction battle. There's a big new trend in weddings that is all about the word small.
According to TheKnot.com, the average cost of a wedding for 100 guests is now $33,000, with nearly 34% of couples paying for some of the wedding, about 17% paying for all of it. With that, the wedding report says 18% of all weddings are now going micro. That's a guest list of 50 or less. And that reduction is reflected in the cost, with the average micro nuptials running less than 10 grand. I'm Bree Tennis.
A pair of Kobe Bryant's game-worn shoes have sold for $240,000.
The shoes were sold on Monday by SCP Auctions. Bryant, who died in a helicopter crash in 2020, wore the shoes during his first ever NBA start on January 28, 1997. He was just 18 years old at the time. The autographed Adidas EQT Top 10 are now the second most expensive pair of Kobe Bryant shoes ever sold. I'm Daniel Martindale.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Twins in Minnesota last night, 8-5. Those two teams back at it this afternoon at 1:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
One more day of heat and humidity before things cool down a little bit tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy today, temps in the upper 80s and low 90s. The mugginess continues tonight, low 70. A few showers and possible thunderstorms tomorrow, 76. Showers even cooler on Friday. We might not even get up to 70. So far, the weekend looks dry, mid-70s Saturday and Sunday. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Somewhere there's speaking, it's already coming in. Oh, and it's rising at the back of your mind. You never could get in unless you were fed in. Now you're here and you don't know why. But under skin knees and the skin marks.
All right, welcome back in. And, of course, you heard that the news is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. They're also the sponsor of our ticket giveaways here on the morning show. And this week we are giving away tickets to see Katy Perry at TD Garden. So you can enter to win right now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We are picking winners for that show all this week. She's coming to the Garden with Rebecca Black for her Lifetimes tour. So, again, WBSM.com and the WBSM app is the place to enter to try to win. Also, if you are, you know, thinking about, well, right around a month or so from now, kids are going to start going back to school, and maybe your kids are going back to school, and you're thinking, then I got to get a job. You know, I want to spend the summer with my kids, but we need some extra money. I've got to go out and find some work. Well, working for Tremblay Bus Company could be the way to go because it's going to allow you to work around your kids' school schedule. You could be a school bus driver, a monitor, a van driver, a mechanic. They're hiring for all of those positions right now. And if you want to find out more or apply, just go to tbcbus.com, tbcbus.com, and you can fill out all the information right there, or you can go down to their office and apply in person. And if you don't have a CDL, that's okay. They're willing to train you if you are willing to learn. So check it out, TBC Bus, Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com for more information. So I told you that I would read to you what was sent over to Barry. And so he reached out to the city. He reached out to the city and the police, but we'll start with the response from the city's public information officer, Jonathan Darling, regarding the what's being cited as a longstanding policy within the New Bedford Police Department to hire both U.S. citizens and legal permanent residents. So as we've been talking about, there was some confusion because they had the frequently asked questions section on the website that mentioned that you had to be a U.S. citizen. And then when Barry was asking about, well, how did you hire a permanent legal resident if your policy is to only hire U.S. citizens? And so then they went and they changed the policy. They told us that they did, but then they're like, oh, that was a mistake. You know, we've updated that now. But they said it's been a longstanding policy. And Barry's been requesting a physical copy of this longstanding policy. And honestly, I mean, I said this to Barry. Like, I don't know that there is a document that says that. Like, well, you might be looking for something that doesn't exist. And kind of in the statement by Jonathan Darling, the city's public information officer, they kind of allude to the same thing. Not that there isn't some sort of documentation about who can work for the city of New Bedford, but there's not going to be something within the New Bedford Police Department, you know, manual that says, and we also will hire legal permanent residents. As I assumed and I guess makes sense, it has more to do with hiring laws overall. So this is what Jonathan Darling's response was. Under federal law, a person with legal permanent resident status is allowed to work in the United States. While some employers are permitted to require citizenship as a basis for employment, legal permanent residents work in a vast array of public and private sector positions. In Massachusetts, for instance, they work in the following capacities. And they mentioned police officers in New Bedford, Fall River, Attleboro, Brockton, and other municipalities. Positions in municipal government, including New Bedford, Dartmouth, and Fairhaven. Positions in nearly every state agency. They serve and embark on careers in all branches of the U.S. Armed Forces. Positions at some of the Greater New Bedford's largest and most notable employers, including UMass Dartmouth, Bristol Community College, South Coast Health, Titleist, and, my favorite, they put in NWBSM. And then he pointed out the latter of which, quote, provides equal opportunities to all employees and applicants without regard to citizenship, according to its website. And then he linked to our EOE page on our website. So that was, I got to admit, John Darling, that was pretty savage, the way that you did that. He says, Mayor Mitchell has full confidence in the New Bedford Police Department and is grateful for the service each officer performs on behalf of our residents. So, yes, they are just going by the equal opportunity employment requirements for most jobs. That's the document. That's the policy. But there's probably nothing that formally says somewhere, you know, we as the New Bedford Police Department adhere to EOE standards for hiring. That's probably where, you know, this disconnect is in asking for a physical policy when there isn't one outside of that. So then Barry also got a response from Holly Huntoon, the spokesperson for the police department. And she says the NBPD has two legal permanent residents among its sworn officers. Both Officer Taj and another Cape Verdean officer will be pursuing U.S. citizenship. She says the FAQ on our recruiting page was created and uploaded around April 10th, 2025. So we had it, you know, pretty much right in that range, right? Because we said it wasn't there in February and then it was there in April. And it contained erroneous eligibility criteria. The error was corrected last week at Chief Thody's request after it was brought to our attention. Chief Thody offers this quote. So this comes from the new police chief, Jason Thody. In the short time I've been here, it's been clear to me that the officers of this city show up every day ready to serve. The people of New Bedford are supportive of our officers and great partners in public safety. This partnership is built on our officers being woven into the fabric of this diverse community. I have no doubt they'll continue working hard to protect the city many of them grew up in and still call home. So that's, you know, it's a bit of backpedaling, of course, because they had the incorrect information on the website. But do you have an issue? And maybe you do. And, you know, I hope that if you're being fair, if Officer Taj is a problem for you, then I would think this Cape Verdean officer would be as well. But do you have an issue with that, with a Cape Verdean officer being on the police force that is a legal permanent resident? Because there's a large Cape Verdean population in New Bedford. And some might speak the Creole language, and you need someone who can help with that. But as we've talked about, sometimes it makes a difference to have an officer from your own background to talk to and share with. I don't think that the, and anybody can call me in and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that the Cape Verdean community necessarily has the same apprehension about talking to police that maybe the Guatemalan community does. But both officers are seeking U.S. citizenship. I guess a follow-up question to that, and I don't know if Holly Huntoon is listening, and I don't think I'm necessarily going to bother her with this, but it says both will be seeking U.S. citizenship. I wonder, you know, was that already in the works before this all of this discussion? You know, perhaps Officer Taj has always wanted to be a U.S. citizen, but didn't have the money, needed to get a steady job, needed to get a career going to be able to afford to start the process. Maybe it's always been his intention. Maybe he got this job as a way to help with that. But 508 996-0500 if you want to chime in. We can talk about that. We can talk about the longevity payments. Also, I have a story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app that I put up last night. I was a little surprised by, first of all, and just to walk into Dollar Tree and see an item that costs $20. That's right, a $20 item on the shelf at Dollar Tree, the store where formerly, until just a couple of years ago, everything in the store was a dollar. And then everything in the store was $1.25. And then earlier this year, some of the stuff was going up to $3 and $7 and all of that. But $20? And on top of that, it had a different price underneath the sticker that was much less. So we can talk about that coming up as well. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. All right, welcome back in. We were talking about a number of local issues. We've got the longevity pay, the story at NewBedfordLight.org about exactly how much longevity pay has been paid out to elected officials over the last 20 years to the tune of over $63,000. We are talking about the New Bedford police having another legal permanent resident. We are talking about the price markup at Dollar Tree and a little something else we're going to talk about this morning as well. And it got some time on Barry's show and Brian's show yesterday. The fact that the YMCA used to have grown men and young boys swimming together in the pool naked. That was one of the shocking things that we heard about yesterday. All right. We got a couple of calls here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Wow, naked. Wow, that's like ancient or something like that.
Apparently it was the policy till the 70s, so till 1970.
Well, it's funny, you know, that, what is it, the old getting kicked out of Eden, you know, it was all about whether you want to call it self-awareness or whether you want to call it loss of innocence. But real reason I called, you were talking about the local economy there. You know, Trump is trying to take over.
David, I don't mean any disrespect, but I got a lot of local stuff going on and some callers calling in, so let's save this for another time.
Interest rates, bond rating.
Okay, I just said let's save this for another time.
If the local economy...
Okay, tell you what. I'm not going to take your calls anymore if you can't talk about the things that we're talking about on the show. I don't want you to just randomly call up my talk show.
Economy.
I don't want you to just randomly call my show to get in your talking points every day. If I'm having a local discussion and I say let's hold it off for another time, I'd like you to respect that, please.
I think I'm talking about the local economy.
Okay. Do you know anything about the New Bedford longevity pay that we're talking about?
Is that your retirement fund?
No. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
I was listening to in the beginning, so you went back on that list. So, to my knowledge, I haven't heard it. Did anybody from the station, WBSM, Fund 107, or did somebody from New Bedford Light go to speak to Dave Alves or John Saunders and ask them, was it already in place when they got elected in office?
No,
well over 25 years ago.
No, there's nothing in there in the story from the New Bedford Light.
Okay, yeah, because I thought all along that would be the sources to go back to. Go to the guys who they may not be there, but they're still alive. And ask, was it in play when you came in? That was always interesting, and I haven't seen it in any or heard it in any articles. And real quick, what you were saying about Dollar Tree. So it happened last week, and it didn't even pass right by me, but it happened to me again last night. So I went into a local Dollar Tree to get a cold Powerade, and I went to the cooler, and I went to the register, and the girl said $2.25, and I'm looking at a shelf that says $1.25. If it's in the cooler, it's $2.25. If you're getting in the shelf but it's not refrigerated, it's $1.25.
Well, that's a big
and
up,
I've only
big up charge
that, like,
for
in the last couple of weeks. I thought that was bizarre. So you're paying for the refrigeration.
I would guess it's not only a matter of time before that shelf one changes too.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy, but it really caught me off guard. I was in a hurry last week. Last night, I was slow enough to catch it. Actually, I was on my way to go to D's hot dog. I was getting a Gatorade to go down there and sit down and have a couple hot dogs. So,
did you happen to see if they had any $20 items in there? Because apparently this is a thing in many Dollar Trees.
I didn't see. I went in directly to the front, got that one out. I've seen some items at $10. I've seen 20s, but I've seen some 10s. So, and actually, they're the same items you would see in Family Dollar, which is really the same corporation.
It's not anymore, though. That's I found that out. They divested
in Family Dollar. They, and Dollar Tree is not the same corporation.
No, they sold off. They sold off Family Dollar. That's what I think might have happened. Is I think some of these items, and I'll get into it in the next hour. But I think some of these items that they're trying to mark up here are former Family Dollar items.
Oh, that would make sense then.
Yeah. So, all right.
Well, okay, my friend.
You have a good day.
Bye bye.
And again, I didn't mean to be rude to that caller, but I think it's also rude when, you know, we've got a lot of topics that we're discussing, and I ask that the topics stay on that. Generally, I let that caller say what he wants, and I give him more time than most of the other hosts do. But we've got a full slate of local topics to discuss this morning, and I want you to have your say at 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. All right, that's going to do it for this hour. We will take a break for the news. When we come back on the other side, more with you, 508-996-0500. And we